You know, it's Nick DiGilio here, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Get your Two for Tuesday requests in, 312-981-7200. I do know this song. Caroline requested Minnie Riperton, Two for Tuesday. I do know this song. Maya Rudolph covered it. So that she covered her mom's song. Yeah. And we're
I do have an example of the Only Dogs Can Hear It voice.
Oh, okay. Here's Minnie Riperton. Good Lord. Good Lord. When you think she can't go higher, she does. And then you think she can't go higher, then she went higher, and then she does again. How much glassware was shattered by that woman when she was alive? Oh, my God.
She stuck to plastic cups.
Yeah, that's what they sold at her shows. Like, if she ever did, like, concerts, they'd be like, we will serve no glassware. The bar will be made entirely of plastic. Take all the mirrors down. Wow. So we're talking about variety shows, and it's interesting that Minnie Riperton has been chosen as our first Two for Tuesday artist this morning because her daughter is Maya Rudolph. Maya Rudolph just ended a 6-episode run of a terrible variety show called Maya and Marty. And it was one of the most disappointing television shows ever, considering the talent that's involved. And it wasn't just Maya Rudolph, who's extraordinarily talented and versatile. And it wasn't just Martin Short, who was also incredibly talented and versatile. But it was a staff of writers. Kenan Thompson was a regular on the show. And then the guest stars that they had on were all amazing. Like, each week they had at least 2 or 3 unbelievably talented people on the show, and every week the show failed. Every week it disappointed. But I watched every episode. And it was a really a throwback to those variety shows from the 70s. They would come out, they would do a little bit of, you know, shtick, and then they would do a song. Then there were sketches. Guests would do their thing. They'd do some more songs. It would usually end with a musical number, you know, with comedy in between. And so it was a real throwback to the old-fashioned variety shows. And someone like Maya Rudolph is perfectly suited to do a variety show. She's a good actress. She's unbelievably funny. She can dance and she can sing. But, man, that was bad. I mean, really, really bad. And I watched it every week. I'd sit in front of the TV, and then, like, 20 minutes into it, I'd be like, I don't, this just sucks. Did you watch any of it, Esmeralda?
I didn't see any of it. And then you were very not happy about it.
No.
So I avoided it.
It was terrible. And I don't understand the Jiminy Glick thing. I just don't get it. I never got it, you know. It's a character I don't find amusing. I don't think it's funny at all. And each week they did like a 10-minute Jiminy Glick bit where he's interviewing, you know, a celebrity. And that always, for me, you know, fell flat. It's just a character that I don't understand. So that's an example of a variety show, a modern-day variety show that sucked. But we want to talk about your favorites and the most original and the weirdest. The variety show in general, as we've talked about, it's a descendant of vaudeville. It's an anthology of unrelated performances by different performers. The breakout hits on television, Texaco Star Theater, was hosted by Milton Berle. Then, of course, there was the Ed Sullivan Show, Red Skelton, Jackie Gleason. Carol Burnett was one of the most popular and probably one of the most beloved variety shows of all time. The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was one of the most important historically and politically, for the time it was on. And it fell out of favor in the 80s because cable and MTV and HBO provided different outlets for music and stand-up comedy and stuff. And in the 70s, it was at its peak in terms of popularity. I mean, everybody had a variety show. If you didn't have a regular variety show, you had a special at least once or twice a year that was a variety show. Bay City Rollers had one. Brady Bunch had a few. And then they would like break off into other things. Does anybody remember the Circus of the Stars? Anybody? You guys don't remember the Circus of the Stars?
No.
Okay, Circus of the Stars. Dan, you should look up some of this stuff on YouTube. Esmeralda, do you remember at all? Ever hear of the Circus
of
the Stars?
Yeah, I saw a clip. I remember VH1 had all those. Remember the 70s? And
yes.
All that. So they aired a couple clips.
It was amazing. It was like stars from the 70s doing circus acts, like Linda Blair on a tightrope, you know?
Now, were they training them, or did they just naturally have these talents?
No, they trained. They would talk about it, like, you know, like, oh, I trained for this long to do this. If I remember correctly, Linda Blair was on the trapeze or something. I can't remember. But it was celebrities of the 70s, you know, your Gabe Kaplan's, stuff like that. They would come out and they would do circus acts. They would juggle. I can't remember, but there was a celebrity who went into the cage with a lion and did the lion tamer's bit. This is all real. I'm not making this up. I mean, this was like huge ratings. Huge ratings. How about the Battle of the Network Stars? I'm sure you guys heard of the Battle of the Network Stars.
That one I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that again.
One of the keynote speakers at last night's Republican convention was one of the star athletes of Battle of the Network Stars, Mr. Chachi Bayo. Was very popular on the Battle of the Network Stars, as was Gabe Kaplan, who was always the team captain for ABC. All right, we have to break. Variety shows, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. News is next. Okay. Excuse me for a while. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. It's 2 for Tuesday. Hannah requested the band London Grammar. And that's their song, Strong. Dan, do you know London Grammar?
I'm unfamiliar.
What about you, Esmeralda?
Nothing.
Vic, London Grammar?
Never heard of them.
Me neither, but Hannah has. And evidently they've done two songs. Because it's 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. Vic, do you have any memories of variety shows? You're a little bit older than than my two cohorts here.
Give me some examples.
Well, Carol Burnett. What? You remember Carol Burnett?
Yeah, I didn't watch her much.
How about Donnie and Marie?
Nope. Wasn't a Donnie.
All right, I'm alone here this morning. I'm all alone.
I just remember plopping on the couch,
yeah,
eating my macaroni cheese with the hot dogs in there, watching like Good Times and things like that.
Ah, Good Times and mac and cheese with hot dogs. That
was my routine.
That was your.
That was my pre-dinner snack.
Oh,
every
your
night.
Pre-dinner snack right, was the mac and cheese, hot dogs, times. And Good Times.
Yeah.
All right. I'm assuming Sanford and Son would be in there too, because
yep.
You know we do
absolutely.
All right. All right. Sanford and Son is the best. Who you calling ugly, sucker? I could take your face, stick it in some dough, and make me some gorilla cookies.
Knock, knock, who's there? Dummy.
Dummy.
That's my favorite.
Oh, man. God, Red Fox was funny. All right. 312-981-7200. See if you remember any of these. They have like a list here in this article. One of them is Many an American Christmas Special. You know all the Christmas specials were always the ones they would have, like, you know, every celebrity would have a Christmas special. I think they still do that, but not as much as they did in the 70s. In the 70s, every act had a Christmas special. They'd come out and go, "Hi, everybody." You know, and then they'd sing like White Christmas and then do a sketch with Santa Claus falling. Oops. I don't. Oh. But one of the most notorious is the Star Wars Holiday Special. Now, in this book that we were talking about, Fade Up, that we were talking to the authors, they actually talked to the guy who produced the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's pretty interesting. Now, that's notorious, and I have a copy of it. It's like a bootleg copy of it. I mean, George Lucas made sure that it never got aired again. And if you've ever seen, it, Esmeralda? Have you ever seen the Star Wars Holiday Special?
I remember being at a Christmas party and they were playing it.
Oh my God,
it was being played!
It is really incredible. I mean, incredible. B. Arthur is in it.
Of course.
And she, like, sings a song, if I remember correctly. And if I remember correctly, Art Carney's in it.
Is B. Arthur wearing Leia buns?
No, she... No, her hair... If I remember correctly, her hair is, like, in a beehive kind of thing. And she's a bartender at a Wookiee bar. At a bar where Wookiees hang out. This thing is really amazing. I mean, if you've never seen it, I'll bring it in, Esmeralda. I've got it on DVD. You've got it just for historical purposes. You should see it. Dan, have you seen the Star Wars Holiday Special?
I have not seen it all the way through.
Well, was that by choice? Because I could understand if you chose to stop watching it.
No, I was on in the background of a party.
It's a stunning, stunning. Wow. So that's listed on here. We got some people calling in. 312-981-7200. Demetra is on the line. Hi, Demetra.
Hi, how
Hi.
Are you?
All right.
I'm enjoying your conversation about the variety shows, and I'm amazed that you remember so many. But I do agree with you. I love the Smother Brothers.
Yeah.
Tommy Smothers with that wicked sense of humor and that little twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
Before, you know, he hit you with the point.
The thing about that people forget about the Smothers Brothers is, you know, everybody knows that they had the, you know, they had their shtick, oh, Mom liked you better and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But that show, first of all, they were booking guests and bands that nobody else at that time would book.
That's why I love them. And then I love their, you know, political.
Absolutely.
You know, the political activity. That
Absolutely. They did commentary about Vietnam while it was happening.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's what got them kicked off the air. That's why their show got canceled.
I remember. And it was, like, amazing, and it's like, why would they do that? You know, it was such a relevant show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great show. A great
show. It was great. And I also am one of those who loved, well, I didn't love, but I did enjoy Donnie and Marie. And one more show for the music,
mm-hmm.
and that was the Tom Jones Variety Show, because he had all the greats on, Isaac Hayes, Tina Turner. And, you know, the music was really, really wonderful.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, Demetra, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for the interesting conversation.
All right, my pleasure, thanks. Tom Jones, okay, here's the deal. Tom Jones had a variety show in the 70s, and Tom Jones in the 70s was, like, major heartthrob guy.
Did he do skits?
Yeah. Yeah, it was mostly concentrated on music, but he would do wacky skits. And the thing about Tom Jones was that he was the performer that was known for the most panties to be thrown on stage while he performed. Women would just throw their drawers up there, just right on stage. And that was like a thing. That was, you know, like a Tom Jones trademark thing. Count the number of panties that were thrown up on stage while Tom Jones is up there. And I remember specifically my mother used to call one of her friends after every episode, and they'd talk about it for 20 minutes. They talk about Tom Jones.
And how good looking that chest hair was.
Oh, they loved him in the 70s. Tom Jones. Tom Jones is awesome. I love Tom Jones. I think he's great. You go back and watch some of those episodes, though. My God. Ridiculous. And my mom would be on the phone. Did you see what he was wearing? You know, talking with her friend.
Or not wearing.
Or not, yeah. And me and my dad would be like, isn't Python on? Can't we watch Python? The hell's going on here?
What pendant was stuck in his chest hair this yeah. night?
Yeah, it's not unusual to be loved by anyone. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. You know, he was in the Jerky Boys movie, right? Do you remember?
I did not see that.
You didn't see the Jerky Boys movie?
No, sorry.
Come on! Dan, did you see the Jerky Boys movie?
I love when you get so angry about certain things there's no chance in hell we've ever seen.
How do you mean? You're children of the 90s.
No, I wasn't. My brother was into it. He liked the Jerky Boys.
The Jerky Boys were geniuses. I could listen to the Jerky Boys for 40 hours straight.
That was the bad example us young kids should not be following. So we were never allowed to.
Oh, that's why you could never listen to the Jerky Boys?
Nope.
I remember
dangerous.
We were doing a play called Congratulations for Not Killing Anyone. All right? And I directed it. And we were building the set. This was at the old Mary Archie, God bless it, at Angel Island, which just closed down, the great Rich Katowski space. We were building a set, and normally, you bring music in. you know, see, while you're building a set or painting it. And I brought in the Jerky Boys. I brought in one of the Jerky Boys tapes. And we got nothing done. Because all we did was laugh. We had to, like, put hammers down and stuff because we were laughing so hard. I love the Jerky Boys. The movie's not very good. I mean, obviously. But for some reason, Alan Arkin's in it. I just remember Alan Arkin is the bad guy in it. Like, how the hell did they get Alan Arkin to star in the Jerky Boys movie? Those tapes are hilarious. The Jerky Boys tapes are hysterical. Get Brett Weir, I said. You guys never heard that one? The roofing?
I probably did.
Yeah, your brother probably played roofing a lot, which is one of their best ones. Because the character, Frank Rizzo. Yeah, I'm Frank Rizzo. He would call up. He's like, look, I got these two idiots up on the roof. They're up there slapping each other with the hot mops. Had to fire one of them down into the yard. I can't. We can't play it on the air, unfortunately, because, you know, there's a lot of swearing and stuff. I can't believe that you guys who are in your 30s have not embraced and memorized every Jerky Boys routine.
We were good kids.
I could do a Jerky Boys battle with you, Nick.
Oh, yeah. There we go. There we go. Vic Vaughn, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now, tell
these
guys.
I had to come over here.
Tell these guys how great the Jerky Boys were.
You have to look it up, guys. It's
hysterical.
Incredible.
Do you remember roofing? These guys up on slapping each other with the hot mops.
I don't know how you quote it though without a bunch of bleeps.
I know. That's why you got to be very careful when you're quoting the Jerky Boys. Mm-hmm.
We used to crank call grocery stores and ask for fava beans.
you've led quite a life, Vic.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Fava beans. Now, hold on, Vic. Hold on. Come back here for a second. Did you see the Jerky Boys movie with Tom Jones?
I didn't see the movie.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, well, thanks for coming to my aid, Vic. I appreciate it, buddy. Yep. All right, we got a break. We'll come back. We got more variety. You know, the Jerky Boys should have been given a variety hour. That would have been magnificent television. 90 minutes of the Jerky Boys every week. Come on. I am the Egyptian magician. Come on, man. Comedy. This is Kessel. I'm sorry, I'll just do all the characters if you'd like. Oh, God. All right, we have to take a break for weather and traffic. Everybody hang on. We're talking about variety shows. Some of the most memorable moments, too. If you have some favorites, give us a call. 312-981-7200. 2 for Tuesday as well. All right. 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Get your request in. 312-981-7200. Hannah. It's her second song. 2 for Tuesday from London Grammar. Wasting My Young Years. I do not know this band. I don't. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about variety shows. The best, the worst, the weirdest, the most memorable. If you have any of those stories, love to hear from you. Here's Rose on WGN. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Nick. I haven't talked to you in a while. Sunday nights, they used to have Glenn Campbell variety show.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember much other than, hi, I'm Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, he would, hi, I'm Glenn Campbell. That's right. Yeah. I remember that was on Sunday nights, Rose.
Yeah, because the only reason I remember that is because when I was dating my husband, he came home on the weekends, he'd leave Sunday nights, and then I'd watch that, or I'd listen to the Blackhawks when they were on.
Ah! So that's
the only reason I can remember that.
Either
Sunday
Glenn
night.
Campbell or the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, you know there's a Campbell back on the Blackhawks, right? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Soupy's back.
Other than my little Shawzy went away.
I know, everybody misses Shawzy, he's a loon.
He was my favorite little dude. So
all right, Rose.
And of course, you're my favorite little dude, too.
Oh, come on. That's sweet. Thank you, Rose. Have a good week.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Glenn Campbell, man. I remember Johnny Carson. Hey, by the way, do you guys know that I watch the Johnny Carson reruns at all?
What?
Yeah.
I heard a rumor.
Yeah, I do.
When?
Oh, as soon as I get home every morning. And I document it on my Facebook page pretty much in detail. I'm such a dork. I remember there was a bit that Johnny Carson did. You know, I don't know if you guys don't remember, but Rhinestone Cowboy was a huge song. You guys remember Rhinestone Cowboy? Like a rhinestone cowboy. You guys remember that song?
I remember it from that awful movie with John Lovitz.
What?
High School High.
Oh, wait a minute. High School High?
Because he's a teacher in it, right?
Yeah.
And he's at the school dance, and he gives them the record, and he's like, play this. And then it's Rhinestone Cowboy, and then they start, like, scratching it.
Oh, they do like a wiki wiki.
Yes.
I vaguely remember seeing High School High. God, that was a terrible movie.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
I think I skipped it and went to go see the Jerky Boys again. That's what I think. It's funny, you don't remember the Jerky Boys, but you remember High School High.
Yeah, well, because it's, you know, it plays all the time.
Yeah, boy. Like a rhinestone cowboy. I remember Johnny Carson came out on a horse. I think it was a stuffed horse, and they pulled him out. And he had he was wearing a silk cowboy shirt and had like a rhinestone cowboy. I just remember that.
It's covered in rhinestones?
Yeah. Johnny Carson, man. He was doing Karnak last week. He did Karnak yesterday, which is the greatest thing ever. Karnak rules. You know, you got to know Karnak, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah, of course.
And he's got the big turban on and he guesses the... You know, the answer to the question. But last week he did one and he goes, puts the envelope to his head and he goes, Hasbro. And then, of course, Ed always repeats it, Hasbro. Then he rips the envelope, blows into it, pulls the answer out, and he goes, how does Tito Jackson get work? Genius. Hasbro. Get it? Hasbro.
Took me a minute.
It's spectacular. Jay in Ohio. Hi, Jay. Jay's a good guy. He's come twice to my, all the way from Ohio. He's come to my events. He came to see Risky Business, and then he couldn't get in to see Raiders. I'm sorry, Jay. Drove in all the way from Ohio. Nick, I like the Smothers Brothers show and the Ed Sullivan show. The thing about the Ed Sullivan show, that was a true to the exact definition of a variety show. Because he would say, all right, here's an opera singer. And then the opera singer would come out, sing this incredible aria. And then here's George Carlin. And then George Carlin would come out and do like 5 minutes. Then he would leave. And he'd go, here's a guy who spins plates. And he's a guy with spinning plates on sticks. But here's a scene from Death of a Salesman, and then somebody would come out and do a scene, and it was like, and then here's The Who. Like, what the hell is this? Now, and I don't know if they still rewrite. The Ed Sullivan Show rules. It rules. Ed Sullivan was a goofy bastard, though. Like, really, he messed up cues all the time. He couldn't read the prompter. He was a weird-looking guy, but he had, like, a real good taste for talent. He was just, like, the most unusual and kind of inappropriate host for a TV show that you could ever imagine. He was not a handsome man. He wasn't, you know, particularly likable. Didn't speak very well, but here he was on the show for like 50 years. But like every show, there would be like the word variety. I mean, the variety of the acts on that show, it was insane. It was crazy. Here's The Who. The Who would come out. They'd play My Generation. Here's a clown juggling. You know, like right after that. Like, what? What? They used to show the reruns on Channel 11. I don't know if they still do. For years. I mean, I think as recently as 3-4 years ago, I think it was Sunday evenings or Sunday nights on WTTW, they would show some of the old Ed Sullivan reruns. And those are great. All right. 773 area code says the Flip Wilson show was good. Legendary. Flip Wilson show was legendary. And some of the acts that he had on that show, so good. Richard Pryor had a variety show that was short-lived. It was too controversial. That's right. He kept fighting with NBC and the censors. One of the big jokes was he talks about how he was getting ripped off by the producers. Burt Sugarman was the producer of his show, the Richard Pryor show. And one of the bits that they did at the beginning of the show, he was doing like a monologue, and he talks about how much they took from him, like Burt Sugarman took from him. And then the camera pulls back and he's got no genitals. And this was like in 1976. And they had like a body stocking on him, so it looked like, and then they blurred it out, so it looked like he didn't have genitals. Like they took those away from him too. He got away with that joke. I don't know how the hell he did it. But a lot of stuff had to be cut. The show, I think, if I remember correctly, the Richard Pryor show, I want to say lasted maybe three episodes before they went, yeah, that's it. And he fought with him tooth and nail creatively on it. They do have one clip that's available, I think, Dan. You might be able to find it, where he's, it's a Star Wars, so it's 1977. He's working in the cantina, in the Star Wars cantina. See if you can find that, Dan, because that, I think that's, it's airable because it was on network television. But it's like Richard Pryor was working in the Star Wars cantina, and he's talking to all the, like the characters were, like the characters that looked exactly like the ones from Star Wars were in there. And it's like him like cleaning up after him and stuff and yelling at him. Do we have it?
We do. It's long, though.
Okay. All right. So we'll play it after the, yeah, it's classic. Classic. And let's see, 815 area code before we break here. Dean Martin, well, please. The Dean Martin show ruled. One of the best variety shows of all time. Let's go over to the couch. All right, we got to take a break. Got a lot more variety talk shows to talk about, a lot of variety shows to talk about. We got the news coming up next here. 312-981-7200, talk and text, and 2 for Tuesday. News next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. 720 WGN here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, followed by the great Steve Cochran at 6. It is 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and request. 312 area code says Johnny Taylor last $2. Yeah, little Johnny Taylor this morning. So we're talking about variety shows, classic ones from the 70s especially, and remembering some of the other ones. And Dan was reviewing that clip of the Richard Pryor show, which only lasted a couple of episodes. And the one bit that I think is always available online is the bit where he's working in the Star Wars cantina. But Dan, you reviewed it, and most of it's visual. And in a couple of instances, he says the N-word, because in the 70s, you could do that.
Right.
So we have about 40 seconds that we can play?
Ish.
All right, Richard Pryor.
Baseball. Remember Hank Aaron? He hit 714. This is the ball he hit it with. Yeah, I know Garbage hit 4,000, but he had a laser bat. This man hit it with a piece of wood. And what the hell you know about it? Your brain's about to fall out your head. Listen, hold it. Yeah, Starbuck.
It must be for you. You said the ugliest?
Yeah, your wife wants you to come home. He said, "Widdy wada 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 wada." Okay. She said, "Wada go to wada get it, wada get it."
Okay, that's all we can. That's pretty much all we can play from that. Oh, man. Richard Pryor. All right. Beth sends in a text that says, I disagree with you on Maya and Marty. Ugh. I respect the fact that they tried to bring back many old elements. It reminded me of Sonny and Cher with Marty doing his version of Sonny. Yeah, I wanted to like it, and I too like the fact that they wanted to bring back some of the old elements, but, man, it was heartbreaking for me to watch. Hey, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Netflix, right?
I do.
Have you watched Stranger Things yet?
No, I keep seeing things about it. What is it even?
It's so good. It's so good. It's like a Eric described it the best. If Steven Spielberg had produced a Stephen King miniseries in the 80s, it would be this. It's sci-fi, it's horror, it's nostalgia. It takes place in 1983, and it's a total throwback to 80s movies, sci-fi movies, and horror movies. Featuring a cast of incredibly talented kids who are the core of the show. And a wonderful performance by Winona Ryder.
Oh.
Oh. So I highly recommend it. I'm 6 episodes in. There's 8 episodes total. And I watched 4 in one day and 2 the other day. I'll probably finish it off today. It's great. It's really great. So Stranger Things. You should check it out. All right. Here's Jill with some variety show talk. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hi.
I remember as a kid the Captain and Tennille Hour.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I vividly remember they had a skit called the Bionic Watermelon.
Well, you know, the bionic thing was big in the 70s.
It was a watermelon with sunglasses. You know, like big sunglasses.
Well, what made it bionic, Jill? Do you remember?
I don't really remember. I just know it used to, like, get kicked around. It would go extra far.
The Bionic Watermelon. Oh, my God. Fantastic. Fantastic. One of the many bionic jokes from the 70s, Captain yep. and Tennille. That guy never took off that damn hat.
No, he didn't.
Daryl Dragon. God. All right. That's hilarious, Jill. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Okay. The Bionic Watermelon. Esmeralda, come on. That's a ratings grabber, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how big? It must have had 50 people on the writing staff to come up with the Bionic Watermelon.
I bet you they kept it going, too.
See,
every
it was a
week.
Recurring gag every week. Now for more of the Bionic Watermelon. That's comedy gold right there.
See, I would sometimes watch, I mean, it was on like PBS or something.
Yeah.
But it was the Lawrence Welk Show.
Oh, the Lawrence Welk Show was also great.
Yeah, my mom said she used to watch that too.
Yeah. Lawrence Welk Show was great. Well, they did a great parody of Lawrence Welk Show on SNL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the sisters from the Finger Lakes. And then Kristen Wiig would come out with the weird teeth, the giant forehead, and the teeny baby hands. Fantastic. Hey, did I hear that Patty went to go see Ghostbusters, right? Patty Vasquez.
Did.
Okay. And she liked it.
Yes.
As well she should, because it's great. And the chicks are hilarious. She didn't know who Kate McKinnon was before the movie?
I don't think so.
What?
I don't think she did. Well, I don't think she watches SNL.
Well, that's, you gotta at least go and find some Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon is the best cast member. I don't have to tell you, Esmeralda. She's the best cast member on the show right now.
She's great.
She's the best cast member on the show. Has been for 4 years.
Which, by the way, have you seen the picture floating around that Gillian Anderson posted of a young Kate McKinnon?
I love it.
As
Scully.
Scully, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's
I love it.
It's too cute.
It's amazing. Yeah, Kate McKinnon rules, man. And she's great in the movie. She's great in the movie. You know, you weren't here when we reviewed it yesterday.
I know. I was actually quite curious.
All three of us loved it. Eric, Colin, and myself loved it. I think it's better than the original. I think it's better than the original movie. The thing is that I went with my parents to see it. And if you're going to see it, Esmeralda, try and see it in 3D. And I normally tell people to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3D, I saw it in 3D. The 3D effects are great. They're awesome. They're like the coolest 3D effects I've seen in a movie in a really long time. Probably since The Walk, when I saw The Walk in IMAX 3D when I almost passed out.
Right. Okay, then.
But it's just a very, very funny movie. Just a flat-out hilarious movie. I laughed from beginning to end. All the cameos are great. There's a small cameo by... Do you watch The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon?
Every once in a while.
So you know who Steve Higgins is? Like the guy with the glasses, his announcer?
Yes.
Okay. And he was also a producer and a writer on SNL and appeared on SNL for many years. he has a cameo in the first 15 minutes of the Ghostbusters movie as the dean of the crappy college where they work out of. One of the funniest cameos. I mean, like, scream laughing out loud. So anyway, my parents go with me. They don't watch Saturday Night Live. My mom watches every once in a while. My dad doesn't. No idea who Kate McKinnon is before the movie. After the movie, now the president of the Kate McKinnon fan club, my dad.
Oh, that's great, though.
My dad lost his mind over her. So I started sending clips of some of her SNL stuff to my dad. He now worships Kate McKinnon. like after her second scene, my dad leans over to me. He goes, "Who is that?" I go, "That's Kate McKinnon. She's on SNL. She's funny." I'm like, "Yes, Dad. She's really funny. She's like extraordinarily funny." So I can't believe that. I was just shocked. I heard that Patty didn't know who Kate McKinnon was. I was like, "No, she needs like to catch up on like hours and hours of stuff from SNL." I think I'm just gonna post like 8 million sketches to Patty's wall so she can watch the genius of Kate McKinnon.
But this is good. This is good for Kate McKinnon.
Oh, it's great for Kate McKinnon. And because Patty is a comedian and she's in the world of comedy, I thought for sure she knew who Kate McKinnon was. Because I mean the kind of impression that Kate McKinnon has made on SNL is exactly the kind of impression that Kristen Wiig made. It's that kind of thing. Like, she just, right out of the gate, Kate McKinnon just knocked it out of the park. Between her Justin Bieber. God, do you know, so that means Patty's never seen her do Justin Bieber. Oh, my God! Oh, and never seen her do Ellen. How you doing? I'm Ellen. Come on! I got to say that I'm envious of Patty because she's going to discover all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to get to watch all this stuff for the first time.
But you enjoyed it. You'll watch it over.
Who will? Over.
You will.
Yeah, a million times. Yeah, I can't tell you.
So it's fine.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen the alien abduction thing with Ryan Gosling. I can't even explain to you how many times I've watched that. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And Gosling, nobody keeps it together. Not one person except for Kate McKinnon. Everybody loses it on that stage. You got Moynihan, you got A.D. Bryant, you got Cecily Strong, and you got Gosling, and they're all gone. At one point, they're all just gone because Kate McKinnon is so damn funny. So, all right. More variety show stuff coming up here on WGN. Yeah. A little fly jam going on right here. 312 area code for 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. 2 for Tuesday. Johnny Taylor with Disco Lady. Yeah. Hey, speaking of disco, we're talking about variety shows. And in the 70s, at some point during most variety shows, there would be at least 1 to 2 disco songs or disco numbers. Fantastic. John says the Muppets. Yeah, Muppets, fantastic variety show. Also a satire of variety shows as well. 309 area code, laugh in and Tony and Tony Orlando and Dawn. Yeah, Tony Orlando and Dawn. Jeez, for a while they were huge. Man. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. You guys really must have missed out. You were very, very upset that you missed out when Tie a Yellow Ribbon was the number one song in the country. I bet you're very upset about that, Dan.
I'm sorry. I was listening to some Jerky Boys.
Oh. I don't need to talk to you. Marty says, does Shields and Yarnell count as a variety show? Yeah, here's the thing. This is another fantastic idea from the 70s. Esmeralda, are you familiar with Shields and Yarnell?
Not really.
Shields and Yarnell, only in the 70s would executives think that this is a good programming idea. Shields and Yarnell were a married couple who happened to be mimes. So someone in a network decided, you know what, let's give a variety show to a couple of mimes. And they did. So they did speak when they weren't in mime land, you know, like when they didn't have the face paint on and doing their wacky robot mime stuff. But it was a variety show hosted by two mimes. And I don't know how long it lasted. I don't think it lasted more than one season. It couldn't have. So, oh, Esmeralda, you got a traffic thing here?
Yes, I was talking about earlier 59th Street exit that was closed for a long time for police activity. That's reopened, but inbound Dan Ryan at 71st, now they've closed that for investigation of that police activity that was going on all night. Traffic is being forced into the express lane. So it's 71st on the inbound Dan Ryan. All lanes are down. Traffic is being forced into the express lanes right now.
Okay. You'll keep an eye on all that.
Yes.
All right. And if anything happens, Esmeralda will break right in. So Shields and Yarnell, a couple of mimes with an hour each week to do what they want. And I can't remember who were some of the special guests on the show.
How much of it was mime?
They would do like 5-6 different pieces of show. Of like them like doing robot stuff and mime stuff.
But there's music, right?
Yeah, they would have music, and then they would have like comedy guests on who would like walk in and go, "What? Oh, you're a mime." And then they would do mime stuff. And a lot of these, you know, like Harvey Korman would show up on a lot of these, and when he wasn't on the Carol Burnett show. How about this? 630 area code, do you remember Solid Gold? Oh yeah, Solid Gold, man. With the Solid Gold Dancers.
Is that a variety?
Yeah, no, it's more of a music show.
Okay. I thought it was just dancing, right?
Yeah, well, it was a music. They had acts and concert stuff on there. They had music acts and stuff. I was always a fan of the Mandrell Sisters, says 630 area code, especially Erlene. How many? There were three Mandrell Sisters, right? Barbara, Erlene, and then the other one. And that was another one that was like they would come out and do songs and then they would do wacky skits.
Wait, I like the other one.
I don't know. I can't remember. She was like,
I just ran out of names.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't watch. I remember the show, the Barbara Mandrell, the Mandrell Sisters show being really popular. I never watched it. It was not in my wheelhouse.
Looks like Thelma Louise and Ellen Erlene along with Barbara.
Oh, okay. There was actually a woman with the names Thelma and Louise. Wow. All right. She must have been thrilled when the movie came out. My name is Thelma Louise Mandrell. I'm going to go see Thelma and Louise right now, and I hope it's about me. That was my Thelma Mandrell, by the way.
Uncanny.
Incredible, isn't it?
I've never seen or heard her, but no, I believed.
No, you don't doubt me.
She was there.
Yeah. do you remember Dean Martin and the Gold Diggers, says the 773 area code. That's right. You familiar with the Gold Diggers, Esmeralda?
No. What?
Those were Dean Martin's dancers. His dancers were the Gold Diggers.
Were they in gold or?
I would imagine it sometimes they were. But they were the Gold Diggers. Dean Martin, let's go over to the couch. And the Gold Diggers.
Did he just make insane jokes about how they wanted his money?
You can't imagine some of the jokes that were made. There's one sketch that you can get online, I know, that involves Foster Brooks. Foster Brooks is another guy who would show up on all these variety shows. And I've explained Foster Brooks, right, to you guys? His whole act was drunk. He was drunk. He pretended to be drunk. His whole act was he would just be smashed.
Right, yeah.
And so there's one, I remember the sketch, one of the sketches that they did was Dean was in a bar because, you know, see, Dean Martin drank a lot too, even though he really didn't. That was one of the things. Most of the time people would think he was drinking, but it was apple juice. That, and I had Dina Martin, who is his daughter, on the show. She wrote a book about her dad. I had her on and she was like, he drank socially, you know, but not nearly as much as Sinatra and all the other guys did because Dino would want to get up early and go out on the links. He didn't want to be hung over. He didn't want to be drunk or hung over because he wanted to shoot 18 at like 6 in the morning. So anyway, in the sketch, Dino's in a bar, and Foster Brooks comes in. He's loaded, and he's an airline pilot, and he's getting drunk before his flight. I remember that was the sketch. Like, Foster Brooks was getting completely annihilated before he had to fly a plane, and that was played for laughs. Yeah, this is hilarious. This guy's going to have the lives of 250 people in his hands, and he's getting smashed with Dean Martin at the bar. That's hysterical. Foster Brooks, man. Legendary. Bobby of the Righteous Brothers ended up marrying Joy from the show Where the Action Is, where they had the action roller skating dancers. Oh, oh. Where the Action Is. Dan, see if you can find any Where the Action Is footage. And see if we can find Joy, one of the action roller skating dancers. That's a hell of a job right there. Maybe someone was a gold digger and an action roller skating dancer in their career. That would be a coup.
It's a lot of talent you need to have.
Absolutely.
Roller skates are heavy. You just have some strong legs.
All right, we have to break for the news. We'll come back, talk more variety shows. 312-981-7200. News is next. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Whoa. 2 for Tuesday. 773 area code picks Bette Midler's version of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Good old Bette Midler. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about variety shows. And I do have a list here of the best variety shows. And they are in a certain order. And then, so I'm going to fly down some of those coming up here. But we'd love to hear from you. If you remember some of the variety shows from the 70s, if you have some favorite variety show moments, 312-981-7200. Here's Dave from Racine on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Greetings and salutations.
Yes.
How about another bizarre idea from the television mind? Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell.
Well, that's why the original season of Saturday Night Live was actually called NBC's Saturday Night.
Because they had that Saturday Night. All I know is I watched it once and can remember the brain cells dying from it. But we had to watch it because my sister insisted that and was making life a living hell unless we did watch this show because they had the Bay City Rollers on.
Ah, we'll see. You got to watch it if the Bay City Rollers are on it.
I couldn't understand the appeal, but you know, my sister's weird.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Keep your powder dry.
There you go. Did you know that originally there was a variety show on ABC with Howard Cosell called Saturday Night Live?
What did he do?
He was the host, and he had, like, musical guests on. It was a variety show.
So, but he would
it was like
do
a talk
stuff.
Show. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would do sketches. I think they would have people on.
Because I would like to see that.
And it was a terrible show, but that's why when Saturday Night Live on NBC started, it was called NBC's Saturday Night.
Ah.
Didn't become Saturday Night. It was live from New York. They would always say live from New York, it's Saturday Night. But so for the first, I think it was the first season, the first full season, it was just called NBC's
right.
Saturday Night.
They didn't want to compete with Howard Cosell.
With Howard Cosell. So they didn't want people to think they were watching this Howard Cosell show.
You might think it was good.
And you know how Saturday Night Live began? It began because Carson was taking more time off during the week. Like, at one point, Carson was taking, like, every Monday off.
Well, that's nice.
Carson was only doing, like, four nights a week. There were times when he would take, like, 3 weeks off. And then they would have guest hosts in for him.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, Carson decided he didn't want, because on Saturday nights at 10:30, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Saturday nights at 10:30, NBC would show reruns of Carson for years.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like a rerun of Carson. And Carson said, I don't want you to do that anymore.
But he still wanted his time off.
Exactly. Because they wanted to use less guest hosts during the week and show reruns. So he didn't want them to show reruns on Saturday anymore. So that's why that slot came open. And that's why Lorne Michaels pitched the show to him.
Oh.
So, again, we can thank Johnny Carson for that as well.
He's such a good man.
Yeah, he was the best. 773 area code says, cool fact about Tom Jones. He was one of the judges on the British version of The Voice up until last year. And he's still really hip and very respected over there. So he was...
But not here.
I like Tom Jones.
No, I just like... He's still hip over there.
Yeah, they still... Well, if he's a judge on The Voice over there...
They still like him.
Do you remember when he had a comeback in the 80s when he...
He had the Kiss song.
Yeah, he re-recorded the Prince song, Kiss.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. 872 area code says, Carol Burnett got her start on The Gary Moore Show. Yes, she did. God bless her. Danny Kaye was great, too. Danny Kaye was great. One of my heroes when I was a kid. Danny Kaye. Loved him. Chris says, Dean Martin, Lawrence Welk had the best variety shows. Rona says, I remember seeing Brooke Shields. She was on Battle of the Network Stars. She brought out her dog, and they did tricks like it was the Westminster Dog Show. Not the Battle of the Stars. That would be the Circus of the Stars. So Brooke Shields came out with her dog and did, like, dog tricks in the middle. They had three rings, and they had a headmaster. Yes, they had a headmaster. A guy with a cap and gown would come out and introduce the acts instead of a ringmaster. If you can find footage, Esmeralda, of the celebrity of the Circus of the Stars, it's fantastic. I think Joni of Joni Loves Chachi did like an animal act or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Number one on the list of the shows is the Carol Burnett Show, which was, you know, one of the most popular shows ever. And, you know, Saturday nights is not considered a night to program your biggest shows.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, CBS had, like, an incredible lineup. They had, like, all in one night, like MASH, Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, All in the Family, and Carol Burnett. All on one night in a row. Like, you couldn't, it was CBS. I believe they called the lineup Murderer's Row. Because nobody could go up against it. Because
it was killer.
It would kill everybody. You know, I mean, these are all classic TV shows. Yeah, they were all on one night. MASH, MASH, Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, All in the Family, Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett was a variety show.
Oh, yeah.
I would just think sketch.
Well, they did sketches, but she sang.
Huh.
And Lyle Waggoner was a regular on the show. He also sang, and they would have musical numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a variety show. But it leaned heavily on sketch comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you got your Tim Conway and your Harvey Korman.
Pre-Dorf.
Yeah. I don't think he ever did Dorf on Carol Burnett. I don't think he ever did do Dorf on Carol Burnett. Dorf rules.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I don't think I've ever seen a whole Dorf sketch. I've only seen the infomercials.
Yeah.
And that I would not buy.
Dorf on golf?
I would not buy Dorf videos.
You don't think like him?
Dorf fishing? Dorf goes fishing?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No?
I'm good.
You're not going to, you know, a friend of mine who's a friend of the show, Pupkin is his fake name.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible for doing the themes to Nick D's Show Spies.
Okay.
And Straight Outta Context. He did those themes. He was a stagehand for many years and a spotlight guy at the Airy Crown Theater and at Auditorium and other places. And Harvey Korman and Tim Conway were touring in their act because they, after Carol Burnett's show, you know, they were still buddies and they would tour together because they were known as, you know, as comedy partners. And obviously, you know, really known for, you know, Tim Conway breaking Harvey Korman all the time. Like, Harvey Korman would laugh. That was the thing. You remember that.
Yeah.
Harvey Korman would just laugh his ass off. He couldn't keep a straight face. He broke every time. So they toured for a long time. And there was a Dorf section of the show where with Tim Conway, like, they'd each come out and do their own stuff. They'd come out together. They'd do like a music number. They would do bits together. And then they would each come out and do solo stuff. So he'd come out. Tim Conway would come out and do Dorf stuff. And my friend a Pumpkin, said that he had to build the Dorf riser for Tim Conway to put his legs into, up to his knees.
Like for him to use for the rest of the tour?
No, it was built for each city. He said they had to build one. Each city had to build one. Like he would not tour with one.
Seems extravagant.
It was like I guess they didn't want to tour like Tim Conway or didn't want to tour with it, but made each city build a Dorf thing.
Geez, not like he's going to carry it around.
So he was building it, and they came in to do it to check it out, and Harvey Korman was there, and he was building it, and he was looking, and it was like it was just, you know, they were given specifications,
right,
knees are, so that like he could do the. He could stick his legs in there, and they can cover it up, and so it looks like he's short Dorf.
Right.
And so that they could put the fake shoes at his knees mm-hmm. when he does his fantastic Dorf bits.
Yeah.
So each town had to build one of these things. So my friend had to build this, and he finished it, and they're looking at it, and he's like standing on the stage, and there's Tim Conway, and there's Harvey Korman. And he goes to Harvey Korman, and if you've not seen History of the World Part 1, I'll have to explain it to you afterwards. If you've not seen it, you're not going to get this reference. Because he said to Harvey Korman, he goes, "Oh, look, it's Count DeMoney." And then Harvey Korman goes, "DeMoney." That's a line out of history because his name is Count DeMoney
right.
in History of the World. But they keep calling him Count DeMoney. And he has to keep correcting them, "DeMoney." And he gets mad every time he has to do it. And it's like, "Hey, look, Count DeMoney." "DeMoney" is what he says.
I like that and they played along.
That's the thing. Like, I heard that story, and I'm like, you know, and my friend is like, it's not like he'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, like, he clearly has heard somebody say, Count DeMoney to him. And instead of blowing the kid off who said that to him, he actually did the bit for him.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's a very good story.
He's a good sport.
He is. And he's Harvey Korman. He was great. Harvey Korman was amazing. He was so funny. God, in Blazing Saddles. Oh, my God. He does the same bit in Blazing Saddles because his name is Hedy Lamarr, or Hedley Lamarr in the movie.
Mm.
And Hedy Lamarr was a famous actress. And so everybody keeps calling him Hedy, and he goes, "Hedley." Instead, "DeMoney." And then evidently, the Dorf bit that night killed.
And
my friend says it's all because of the riser that he built for.
He made the perfect right. Dorf riser,
that's
and
exactly.
then they just had to break it into bits.
That's right.
Because no one would ever use it again.
Well, who's going to use it?
And he wanted it broken because he probably didn't want anyone else using it.
You can't steal Dorf.
Exactly. He'd be like, no one can.
The Dorf riser. That was my name in radio when I first started out. Yeah, man, it's Dorf riser.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah. Bette Midler, 773 area code. Bette Midler, "Do You Want to Dance?" Do you know who her musical director was at that time?
Oh, no.
Also played piano in her band, was her musical director?
No idea.
Mr. Barry Manilow.
Oh.
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 That's how we got his start.
Huh.
Yep. And you know who we can thank for that? For Bette Midler, for basically who we can thank for Bette Midler's success in the mainstream?
Barry Manilow.
Johnny Carson.
Oh.
It all goes back to Carson.
Right. She did the last show.
She did the last show, sang to him a lot. He discovered her, and when he did a nightclub act, Johnny did, and she was his opening act. Because she was doing bathhouses and stuff. She was really, really big in the gay scene.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing bathhouses and late night shows and stuff. I don't know how Johnny heard of her. I don't see Johnny Carson hanging out in the bathhouses on a Saturday night at 2 o'clock in the morning. But he had heard about her, I guess, and saw her.
Someone probably told him.
Yeah. I'm just picturing Johnny Carson. This is wild, weird stuff.
Hanging out in a bathhouse.
This bathhouse is wild. So,
oh man.
All right. We got some people on the line with their variety show stuff. And by the way, during the break, Esmeralda was looking at all the fantastic visuals of Mac Davis.
Yeah.
Because somebody texted us in 847 said, did you mention Mac Davis's variety show? It was very popular, and I liked Mac Davis and his tight jeans.
He wore a lot of tight jeans.
He did.
And no shirts.
And no shirt. That's right. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Okay. Nobody probably, well, we're the same age, Bobby Goldsboro show.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, him having a show. I know he had a couple of hit songs.
Yeah, Scotty Grill's the only one that comes to
that's the
mind.
Big one. Yeah, that's the big one. But, yeah, boy, he had a variety show then, huh?
Yeah. Maybe six weeks.
Yeah. Now, did he like, do wacky comedy bits, too?
Well, he'd have people on stage, and they would perform.
I see. He would just, like, introduce them and then do songs, probably.
Yep.
Bobby Goldsboro. Wow, there's a blast from the past. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Bobby Goldsboro. How about that? Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. Hey. How you doing tonight?
All right, man.
Hey, I haven't been able to call in a while, but happy belated birthday and happy first anniversary.
Thank you. That's very kind of you, Rich. Thank you.
And my parents used to make us watch Hee Haw every week.
You know, Hee Haw was like the country version of Laugh-In.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's essentially, it was like the answer to Laugh-In, but it was like the hillbilly version of Laugh-In.
And the only good thing about that show was the girls in the cornfield.
They were beautiful, man. Yeah.
Yes.
Although, you know, Chet Atkins, you know, it's pretty fun to watch Roy Clark and Chet Atkins because those guys were amazing musicians, you know?
Right.
I used to watch it, too. I don't know why.
For the girls in the cornfield.
I guess for the girls in the cornfield, yeah. God, Hee Haw. All right, thank you, Rich.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
I just remember Hee Haw, they would always do, like, they would, like, do these blackout sketches. You know, they'd do, like, one-off joke sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would always cut to the next segment, and somebody would be laughing at what just happened. So they would do a bit. Like, you know, they'd do some stupid bit,
mm-hmm.
and then they would cut to two guys going, well, now here's our next guest. Like, they were looking off to the side as though what we just saw, you know, and they're literally, and now on to our next guest.
Everyone's having a great time.
Yeah.
They would look off to the next guest, Conway Twitty.
I don't know if they ever got anybody. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure Twitty was on. Conway Twitty was on there. I don't know. That show, man, you know whose favorite show that was? You know who's?
Is it Hey Listen?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That'd be great.
Hey, listen.
Hey, listen. Those girls in the corner.
Listen. Hey, listen.
That Hee Haw.
That Hee Haw is hilarious. I like that donkey that goes Hee Haw. And so does acting mayor Eugene Sawyer. No, George Carzis? No, not George Carzis. Now my phone's definitely going to buzz now. We are maintaining that George Carzis' favorite show is Hee Haw. I'm going to hear from George. No, George Bush, the father, the first Bush.
Oh, okay.
It was his favorite show of all time. Here's Kevin on WGN. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Happy belated birthday, Nick.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Canada. I just got to say, I grew up on Hee Haw, and I think you meant to say Roy Clark and Buck Owens.
Buck Owens, right. I'm sorry. Not Chet Atkins. Buck Owens. That's right.
But, I mean, I agree with the one caller or yourself that those pretty girls in those short shorts in the cornfield, that's why I was a kid and we loved it. But, you know, here's a variety show you haven't mentioned yet that I was young and the networks thought this was a no-lose situation.
Yeah.
Don Knotts,
yeah.
And he introduced a brother-sister group called the Carpenters to the nation.
Did he really?
I remember that being, yeah, that was, I remember my big brother telling me, oh, that band, the Carpenters, are going to be on. You know, I was such a kid, I thought they were like carpenters. Like, like they built with
hammers. They're going to come out and build stuff? Like, they're going to build they're going to.
And then Karen
they're going to build a Dorf riser. They're going to come out.
There you go. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, when I saw it, I thought they had on kind of like overalls and stuff. But Karen sat behind the drum kit and sang lead, and they sang Close to You.
That's great. On the Don Knotts Show. All right.
And the one thing on the Carol Burnett, I love the Tarzan yell. Can you do the Tarzan
yell? No, I can't do the Tarzan yell.
Oh, anyway, great show.
Thank you,
great
Kevin.
Show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm just really amazed that Hee-Haw made it to Canada. I mean, is there some, for some reason, I don't know why I was like, people in Ontario watching Hee-Haw. That just seems strange to me.
They wouldn't enjoy it?
I don't know. I said Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins was not Buck Owens.
How dare you?
I'm such a dummy. 773 area code. I love Hee-Haw. Wow.
A lot of they're coming out of the woodwork.
I know my demographic.
Out of the cornfield.
No, my out of the cornfields with their tight trousers. 312 area code says Jeff Foxworthy had a what is this, a theme now? Jeff Foxworthy had a variety show. It was all right, but one skit was memorable. It was called Here Comes the Choo Choo. I don't.
Okay.
That's all it says.
Here comes the choo-choo.
Hmm. All right. Jim in Carbondale said Hullabaloo was similar to Where the Action Is. Hullabaloo, by the way, we had one of the original directors of Hullabaloo on the show earlier this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And 708 area code. Johnny Cash had one for a short time. I think it was him in June.
I think I saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, they co-hosted it. I can't see Johnny Cash like doing variety, like, yeah, come on, let's do a bit. I just don't see Johnny Cash, you know.
Was that when he was, because wasn't he religious at one
he
point?
Did,
he started doing
yeah,
gospel?
Yeah, he did.
Maybe it was then,
yeah.
He's trying to be a little.
But I just can't, you know, like, I don't see him like going to prisons and going, hey, I'm going to tell a joke.
I'm going to be in the skit. He's wearing a baby bonnet.
And I heard that when he went to Folsom, they made him build a Dorf riser for him.
He's the original Dorf.
He's the original Dorf.
We didn't know that.
Dorf.
He's quite the he's comedic talent.
847 area code. Once working Jewel overnight, we were playing the Jerky Boys over the PA, and it was still open. We'll never forget the look on customers' faces when they came in.
Oh, my goodness.
We used to put music on over the PA.
I know, but when it was
open?
But
it was closed. No, because it was when I worked at Jewel, they closed at midnight. And I did the overnights when I worked at Jewel. Fernwood Tonight was great. That was a great show. Fred Willard was the co-host. Martin Mull was the host. It was a spin-off of Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. All of this is just gibberish to you.
When
Mid-70s. Mid-70s, okay. Yeah. Mid to late 70s. Because Mary Hartman was, it took place in the fictional town of Fernwood. So then it was a spinoff that took place in Fernwood, and it was like a takeoff on The Tonight Show.
Okay.
And Martin Mull was the host, and Fred Willard was the co-host. So, anyway. Oh, we're out of time. Hey, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see
Wild
you tomorrow.
Wild Card Wednesday. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up next.